It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys today. It's always good to come back home to Elevate City Church. And you guys don't need me to say this, but you guys have some incredible pastors. How many know that to be true? Got some incredible pastors. Pastor Kyle and Bethany, they are the real deal. And how many of us know what they say on Sunday, they live out in their own lives on Monday? And so I just wanted to take a moment and give honor where honor is due and show some love and appreciation to your pastors this morning. Come on, help me honor them this morning. Love you guys. Love you guys. I'm not sure what you're going to get today. I told Pastor Kyle I might run the front. I might walk around. I just do not know what God's going to do. How many know you get what you came for? You get what you came for, and I'm praying, I'm hoping that you came to have an encounter with God, that God would speak to you in a special way. But as I was just driving down here and thinking about this week, thinking about your pastors, how grateful I am for Pastor Kyle and Bethany, and I was thinking to myself, man, every time I'm around them, I'm just better. I'm just better every time I'm around them. How many of us know we all need friends in our lives that when we're around them, they make us better? And if I can just be a little transparent with you this morning, I was thinking about where I'm at in my life today. And many of you might know this, but God delivered me from a life of drug addiction and incarceration many, many years ago. And when I think back at where I used to be and where I am today, I realize that there's really two main factors that played a role in that. First, it's because I decided to yield to who God is and who God wanted to be in my life, much like the prophet Isaiah said, where he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, my life is yours." But the second reason I am where I am today is because of the people that I chose to surround myself with. How many of those moments in my life when I was discouraged, and those moments in my life when I felt like quitting, when I felt like giving up, when I didn't feel like I had what it took to go through what I was facing in my life, I had some friends and some people come alongside me and say, "Keep going, get up. There's more in you than you realize. There's more in you than you think." And those moments in my life when I was depressed and I felt like I was all alone and I was throwing a little pity party for myself, I had some friends come along and say, "Hey, you're not the only one going through a hard time. You're not the only one who's struggling, and you're not alone. We're with you, and we're going to see you through this situation and this circumstance and this season of life that you might find yourself in." And because I kept saying yes to who God is and yielding to his plan for my life, and I kept surrounding myself with the right people, God has and he continues to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can think, ask, or imagine in my life. And so here's my hope for us this morning in our short, brief time together of 2 hours. My hope is that we would experience all that God has for us. In fact, I wasn't planning on this, but it was a special moment during worship. I felt like you guys got an incredible worship team. I appreciate not just their talent, but their heart for God. Because how many know their heart for God will trump their talent all day long? You can have a talented worship team and their heart can be far from God. It can be more about them than it is about the presence and blood of Jesus. And it don't matter how talented they are, we ain't going anywhere. And so I appreciate the worship team and their heart for Jesus first and foremost. But when we were singing that last song and we're talking about nothing but the blood of Jesus, I don't know if you recognized it, but something shifted in the room. Something happened when we started talking about the blood of Jesus, and we started reminding ourselves who God is and what he's done. When we got our eyes off of ourselves and what we're going through, and we started to look at the cross and the blood of Jesus, all of a sudden hope started to rise, strength started to rise, victory started to rise. Did you feel that in the room? And I was reminded of Paul's prayer. It's not in your notes, but he prayed this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, and it goes along with what my heart is for us this morning. And he says this in verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I get on my knees. I get on my face before God. I get on my face before heaven, and I cry out to him." He goes on to say, "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." I love how he starts that prayer. You know what Paul's doing in that prayer? he's reminding himself of how big God is. Wait a minute. Let me just remind myself of who it is I'm praying to. Let me just remind myself of who it is that I'm getting on my knees before. Because sometimes our problems, our situations, and our circumstances seem to be bigger than our God. And Paul is just taking a step back and reminding himself of who God is and how big God is in his life. And I felt like we did that this morning. I felt like when we started talking about the blood of Jesus, we were reminding ourselves, wait a minute, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. I can overcome in the name of Jesus. And he goes on to say that I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. In other words, I need something that's not man-made, that God has something for you that he wants to give to you that you can't get anywhere else. Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of Lord's, the holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep the love of Christ is for you. And that's my heart for us this morning, that we would experience all that God has for us in our lives. Because I don't know about you, I don't want just a little victory. Like, I want complete victory. I don't want just to overcome a few things in my life. I want to overcome every obstacle in my life. I don't want just a little peace. Man, I want the peace that surpasses all. And I want the peace that doesn't make sense, that I'm going through a tough situation, and there's no reason I should have peace in the midst of what I'm going through, but I got this peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know about you. I don't want to be just a little bit forgiven. I want to be completely forgiven in the blood of Jesus. I don't want just a little bit of the life that God has for me, but I want the abundant life that Jesus came to give each and every one of us. Because how many of us know there's two types of people in this world? There are those who go to Chipotle and they get the guacamole, and there are those who don't get the guacamole. Where are my guacamole people at? Come on now. Come on. Come on, Chipotle worker guy. I want it all. I didn't wait in this line and come all this way for a little burrito. I came for the fatty burrito. Give me a double meat. Put all the rice in there. Put all the fajita vegetables in that bad boy. Give me the guac. $2. Yes, please. Put as much guacamole in that thing as you possibly can, Chipotle worker guy. I want it all. Right? I want everything. And that's the same approach. Like, I want all that you have for me, Jesus. I don't want just a little bit of life. I want the abundant life that Jesus came and gave up his life as a ransom for many that I could experience in my life today. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about a very important topic. And it's a topic that has the ability to set us up for success. It also has the ability to set us up to struggle in our lives. And my hope is that we would understand how important this subject and this topic is, because when we realize what matters most in life, we can live a life that matters most. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about the topic of our friendships. The topic of our friendships. Are we surrounding ourselves with friends, or are we surrounding ourselves with foes? How many of us know that our friends will either make or break us? In fact, our key thought for this morning's message that I know your pastor has already told you multiple times, so I'm just reiterating what your wise pastor has already told you this morning, but our key thought for today's message is, write this down, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me the people that you spend the most time with in your life and I will show you the trajectory of where your life is headed. Because if we can surround ourselves with the right people and the right friends, that's going to set us up to be successful in every area of our lives. But the opposite is true as well. If we get around the wrong people and we surround ourselves with the wrong friends, that's going to set us up for more hardships, more pain, and more struggles than we can even imagine in our lives. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In fact, King Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said this exact same thing thousands of years ago. He just said it in a little bit of a different way. He said this in Proverbs 13, verse 20. He said, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, if we hang out with people who are smarter than us, wiser than we are, have better marriages than we have, are better at handling finances than we are better leaders than we are, then we're going to start to become like them, and they will help us rise to their level. But the opposite is true as well. If we hang out with people who are getting into trouble, people who are dysfunctional in their relationships, people who make dumb decisions with their finances and dumb decisions in other areas of their lives, how many know they're going to drag us down to their level too? Show me your friends and I will show you your future. And so as we talk about getting around the right friends and having the right relationships in our lives, let's kind of just first define, what does the Bible say about what a true, meaningful, real friendship looks like? Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, from the FBV version, the Facebook version. It says, a friend is someone you may or you may not know well who accepts your friend request on Facebook. This person is born to like and comment on your post just to make you feel good about yourself. Now, how many of us know? We know that's not a real Bible verse, right? Some of y'all are like, I didn't know that was in there. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I'm on Facebook right now. I'm not even listening to him. That was really, really good. Now, that's not a real Bible verse, but you have to admit, social media has played a huge role in having a huge impact on how we define friendships in our day and age today. But I want to take a look at what the Bible really says about real, true, meaningful friendships. Let's look at the real Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at what? A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend loves at all times. Man, wouldn't it be amazing if we had some people and some friends in our lives who loved us at all times? Like not just for a little while. Not because of what we do or what we don't do for them. Not just for a season, but friends who were there through thick and through thin. Friends who were there to love us at all times. Friends that for decades we could do life together. That we could be in each other's weddings. Our children could grow up together. Friends that are there to laugh with us in the good times and cry with us during those moments in our lives when we are hurting. Man, what would our lives look like if we had some friends like that? Friends who are willing to love us at all times. And this morning, just kind of help make this message a little bit more relevant and impactful to each and every one of us. I want you just to take a moment, and I put some spaces in your message notes, and I want you to think, and I want you to list out the top five friends in your life. Don't think about it. Just start writing down who are your top five friends. Don't write your spouse's name down. Don't put your dog's name down. Don't put your kid's name down. Don't put your cat's name down. Don't put any family members' names down. I want you to put friends, not family, friends' names who are in your top five. These are friends that you can call at 2 a.m. These are friends that you could be yourself around, that you don't have to act like you have it all together, that you can just be yourself and relax. These are friends who know everything about you, and they still like you, and they still hang out with you. Those are the friends that I want you to start writing right now. I want you to start thinking about that in your mind. And two things I want to say as you're writing. First is, as you think about it, you might say, man, I only got one or two names that I can eat outside my family. I only got one or two names I can even put down. Maybe some of us here this morning don't have any names. Like outside of maybe our spouse and kid, we don't have any names that we can put, friends that love us at all. We don't have any names that we can put down. And I just want to say something. I know at first maybe that can be a little discouraging, maybe even a little depressing. Like, man, I got nothing, Pastor. I got no names that I can even put down. But I want you to know something. My heart is that God would use this exercise to show us some areas of our lives that we need to be intentional about making some adjustments in. And my heart is that throughout this message, that this time next year, you could say, you know what, Pastor, I got two friends down. No, I maybe don't got five, but I got two real, true friends that have chosen to love me no matter what's going on in my life. Love me and be there for me no matter. Last year I didn't have any, and this year I got one. And that's my heart for us, that we would see this gap in our lives, then we'd be intentional about making some adjustments in it. The second thing I want to say is, as you're writing and you're thinking about your top five, is something that leadership experts have actually taught for years, and that is that we are the average of our five closest friends. That usually, typically, we're somewhere in the middle of our five closest friends. So if you look at that list and you think about it, chances are, more than likely, now every once in a while there's a unicorn out there, but chances are, more than likely, you don't make the most money out of your friends, but you don't make the least amount of money either. Chances are you're somewhere in the middle. Chances are you're not the smartest person out of your, but you're not the dumbest either, right? You're somewhere in the middle. That's why I hang out with Pastor Kyle. He's smarter than me. I know what you're thinking. He's smarter is what I mean. But then I got some dumb ones just to keep around too. Come on, I'm somewhere in the middle, right? I'm just somewhere in the middle, but. But on another note, if you go out on the weekends and you hit the clubs and you live a promiscuous lifestyle, chances are three or four names on that list like to do the exact same thing. If you're pursuing God with all of your heart, chances are three or four names on that list, they're doing the exact same thing. They're pursuing God with all of their hearts, and because we are the average of our five closest friends. Like it or not, we become like those we run with. Our mama was right. We become like those we run with. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And so the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, are we hanging with the right people? Are we surrounding ourselves with friends or are we surrounding ourselves with foes? Do we, as we look at that list, do we want to become like those we run with? As we look at those five names, do we want to become like them? Do we want the life that they have? Do we want the marriages that they have? Do we want the victory that they have? Do we want to become like those we run with? Or would we say that if we really want to experience all, like if we want the guacamole, if we want all that God has for us, then we might have some influences in our lives that aren't the best in order to experience all that God has for us. Let's think about every area of our lives. If we want a better marriage than we have now, are we surrounding ourselves with couples who have their marriage rooted and grounded in Christ? When it comes to finances, if we want to get some financial margin and victory, are we hanging out with people who have victory and are better stewards with what God has entrusted? Are we hanging out with other people who have made the decision to put God first in the area of their finances? When it comes to getting in better physical shape or growing in our relationship with God, are we hanging out and surrounding ourselves with people who are strong in those areas? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In fact, the Bible says it this way. This is one of my favorite scriptures I'm sharing with you this morning. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Take a look at it together with me. It says, the righteous choose. Everybody say choose. The righteous choose their friends carefully. I don't know about you. I did not always do that. I didn't think about it. I wasn't intentional about it. And I've suffered the consequences as a result in my life. Because how many of us know we're going to meet people by chance, but we deepen our friendships by choice. We meet people by chance, but we deepen our friendships by choice. In other words, I can't control who my classmates are. They're just in my class. I meet people by chance. I can't always control who I work with. I meet them by chance. I just happen to get a job here, and I'm working with these people. I meet people by chance, but I deepen my friendships by choice. In other words, I choose who I let in my top five. I choose how close I let certain people to me. I choose whose names are on that list. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Our friends, guys, our friends will either make us or break us. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. In fact, the reality is, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, and that is, it's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. I mean, get that tattooed on your lower back. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible. I mean, I said that for a shock factor to wake you up a little bit, but man, I want you to grab a hold of that. It's impossible. It's impossible to live the right life if you keep surrounding yourself with the wrong people. You're never going to. It's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. And the truth is, some of us, maybe many of us, have some influences and some people who are close to us that when we look at who we want to be and where we want to go in life, that we've allowed some people into our inner circle that are never going to help us get there. They're never going to help us get there. And we've allowed them too close in our inner circle, in our top five. And we think about, man, who would I want to be in a year from now? Who do you want to be in 2 years from now? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What are some dreams God's placed in your life? And then you look at your top five, you realize, man, I got some people close to me that aren't going to help me get there. They're not going to help me get there. It could be we have some people that are close to us that are just incredibly negative, and they are just critical of everything and everyone. And whenever we're hanging out with these people or this person, we find ourselves becoming less and less of who God wants us to be. And here's the deal: we might need to redefine that relationship. We might need to make some adjustments in that relationship, because if we're going to go where God wants us to go, we might have to have the courage to do something we've never done. We might have the courage to make some adjustments in our lives. And if you're anything like me, I'm a very loyal person. Loyalty is it's high. It's a belief of mine. But I just had to come to a point that I was like, I'm going this way, and the people I'm hanging out with are going that way, and they're more welcome to ride with me. But I'm no longer basing my decisions in my life based on what they want me to do or what they're doing. I'm going where God wants me to go. And I still got love for them. My people, my friends in my past, if they ever called me, man, I would be on a plane. I would help them out in any way that I possibly could. I got mad love for them. I'm still there for them, but I'm just going in a different direction with my life, because I've realized, man, it's impossible for me to live the right life with the wrong friends. It could be that there's some people in our lives that are tempting us to do some things that aren't honoring and they're not pleasing to God. And we just might have to have the courage to make some adjustments and redefine some of those relationships. It might be that we have some people around us who are introducing some values that are opposed to the values of God. And we might have to have the courage to redefine that relationship, because we just come under the realization that it's impossible for me to go where God wants me to go with the wrong people around me. So I want to challenge us this morning that we would just be determined to not let our friends do two things. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want to challenge us to kind of be determined to never let our friends do, the first one is this: we will never let our friends, number one, distract us from God's plan. We're never going to let our friends distract us from God's plan. And this is exactly what Jesus did with Peter, who was who was one of his role dogs in his inner circle. And even though Peter had good intentions, even though he thought he was doing the right thing, tried to talk Jesus out of fulfilling God's plan for his life. And Jesus had just gotten done telling the disciples that he was about to give up his life as a ransom for many and go to the cross. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, no, you can't do that, Jesus. And so let's take a look at how Jesus responds to Peter's well-intentioned distraction. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Now, here's not what I'm not advocating that you go around calling people Satan. Okay, let's not do that. Not what I'm advocating, but I do want you to see the seriousness and how Jesus responds to it. Like, it's a big deal. This isn't something he's playing with. This isn't something that he's messing around with. He's sending us a message. This is Peter, who would eventually Jesus would build his church upon. This is Peter, Petros, rock. This isn't like some. He's committed. He's in it. He's rolling with Jesus, and yet Jesus still responds in a very strong way, because he's serious about it. And I'm just going to encourage us, we have to get just as serious in our lives. I got to be just as determined. No, I'm not going to let you distract me from God's plan. And I don't know what it would look like for you. Maybe you have some friends around you. They're good people. They're well-intentioned, but they give you a hard time because you make church a priority. They just kind of, they tease you a little bit. They're maybe a little frustrated. They give you a hard time about making church a priority or putting God first in your life. And you might have to redefine some of those relationships. You know, this past summer, my 9-year-old son is big into baseball. He's a really good baseball player. He's good looking, handsome, just like his dad. And just a really, wow, he's awesome. And no one's surprised by that this morning, right? But he plays baseball. Defiance is a huge baseball community. And so he made the All-Star team last couple years. And so there's tournaments on the weekend. Well, it's tough as a pastor. It's tough as a Christian. Come on, somebody. And it's tough when church is a priority in your life. And so I remember last year, we didn't have so much this year, but last year was his first time playing All-Stars, and we lost a few games, and we had an early game on Sunday morning. And I just told the coaches, I said, hey, listen, Jace will not be here until we're going to go to church first service, and then we'll come down. But I think the earliest we can get there is around 10:30. And so all of a sudden, they started being frustrated with that. Like, well, we need Jace. Can maybe you, Pastor, you got to go to church, but can we come pick your son up and take him to the game? We need him the first game. I said, listen, no, this is a priority to me and my family. This is what we do. This is who we are. And we're not religious. It doesn't mean that I have to be there every single week, but it's a priority to us. So why wouldn't we be? So we're gonna go and set the tone, and we'll come after. He'll go to church dressed in his baseball uniform. And as soon as church is over, we'll jump in the car. We want to be there, but we have a bigger priority, because how many of us know if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? And we had other parents trying to tell us, hey, we'll pick him up. No. This is who we are. This is what we're doing. And even though you're good people, you're well-intentioned, you're distracting us from God's plan for us and our family. And we're just going to let you know, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work. And I'm just telling you, we got to have the courage to do that. Now, this year, nobody asked. They didn't even ask. They go, what time can you be there, Pastor? Because we already know. It ain't. It don't matter. We got a priority. I got love for you. Oh, and by the way, a couple other coaches who have a struggle in their marriage, who did they come ask for some advice? Who do they come and talk to when they have some issues? Why? Because we're setting the tone. And all of a sudden, God is using this for us to be a friend instead of them influencing us. Come on, we're an influence. I mean, the world's not influencing us. We're an influence in this world. But we got to have the courage. You know what? I might have to redefine some friendships if I have some people around me that are distracting me from God's plan. The second thing that I wanted kind of to just challenge us, that we're not going to have friends, number two, we're not going to let any friends continually tempt us to sin. I'm just not going to keep putting myself in that position. There's a great example of this with Joseph in the Old Testament. I'm sure many of you have read the story. Joseph gets the dream that he's going to rule over his brothers, and in his immaturity and pride, he shares that with his older brothers, who did not take too kindly to their little brother, saying, I'm going to rule over you someday, older brother. And so they end up selling him in slavery. But because Joseph was a man of character and integrity, he chose to honor his master Potiphar. And he would eventually gain favor from his master Potiphar, and eventually gain the favor of his wife too, who started to put the moves on Joseph. In fact, we see it in Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. Potiphar's wife caught Joseph by his cloak and said, come to bed with me, you big bad boy. But he left his, there's some emphasis there. But he left his cloak in, that was the Facebook version. Come on, somebody. That was the Twitter version. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Now reel back in, people. I know, y'all over the place now. I'm sorry to do that to you. I want us to notice what Joseph didn't do. Like, he didn't stick around and try and lead her to the Lord. He didn't stick around and say, oh, you need some prayer? Here, come on over here. Let's pray. He got out of there as quickly as he possibly could. When there was a relationship that was going to continually tempt him to sin, he didn't mess around with it. He didn't play with it. He got out of there as quick as he possibly could. And I'm just saying, there's some relationships that we have in our lives. We got to quit messing with it this morning. We got to get out of there, and we got to sever those relationships. If we want to go where God wants us to go, if we want to walk boldly, if we want all that God has for us, then we got to have the courage to separate ourselves from some people in our lives who are continually tempting us to sin. Maybe we have some friends, every time we get around, they just gossip. They just love talking about the dirt about everybody else. And at some point, we're just going to have to rise up and say, hey, if you're going to continue to talk like this, if you're going to continue to talk about everybody else's problems and what's going on in everybody else's life and the dirt, you know, I can't be a part of that. So either you stop, or I'm going to have to separate myself from this friendship. It's not you, it's me, but I got to go. I gotta go. I gotta have the courage to stand up and say something. Ladies, maybe you have some girlfriends that when you get around them, they just start trash talking men, start disrespecting and trash talking their husbands, good for nothing, can't trust them, can't marry them, can't shoot them. You know what I mean? I just want nothing to do with them. And at some point we have to say, you know what? I'm not gonna talk like this. You know, I'm gonna show honor to my husband. I'm gonna honor him when he's around, and I'm gonna honor him when he's not around. And I'm gonna speak life over him. I'm gonna speak life about him. And I believe in him. I'm gonna continue to believe in him so that he rises to be the man that God has called, destined, and created him to be for me and for the rest of my family. And if you're gonna continue to talk about your husbands that way, I'm going somewhere else. I just can't be a part of this anymore. If I want to go where God wants me to go, then I might have to have the courage to sever some relationships. Fellas, you might have some friends that are all about the ladies. Always talking about, hey, check, did you see they walking through here? Oh, my man, check, ain't no, your wife ain't around. Check her out. And you, at some point, you're going to have to rise up and be a man. At some point, you have to rise up and be the man of God that he's called you to be and say, hey, listen, I got one hot chick. She's my wife, and she's at home, and I'm madly in love with her. And if you're going to continue to talk like that when we're at the gym or whenever we're hanging out, I can't roll like that. I'm going in a different direction. If you want to keep playing around with that, you can, but I'm going in a different direction because I want all that God has for me. If I don't stand for something, I'll fall for anything. And I just think God's calling us as his people and as his kids to rise to the level that he's calling us so that we experience what he has for us. There might be some relationships we need to sever because it's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. But on the other hand, there's some friendships that every single one of us need to have, and we need to be intentional about pursuing. And in fact, write this down if you're taking notes, and that is, you might be one friend away from changing the course of your destiny. One friend away from changing the course of your destiny. Why? Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. We might be one friend away from changing the entire course of our destinies. And so let me give us two types of friendships that each and every one of us need. And to do that, we're going to take a look at King David's life from the Old Testament and two friends that he had surrounded himself with by the name of Jonathan and Nathan. And they helped him become who God wanted him to be and experience all that God had for him. And so let's start off with the first one, Jonathan. We all need a Jonathan in our lives. Write this down. And a Jonathan is a friend who helps you find spiritual strength. A friend who helps you find spiritual, not human strength, not for you to be stronger. How many of us know there's human strength, which is limited, which doesn't have a lot of endurance, which runs out way too early? Then there's spiritual strength that sustains us. There's spiritual strength that helps us go through things that we are not capable of going through on our own. We need a friend that's going to help us find spiritual strength. And in David's life, he was anointed and he was chosen to be the next king over Israel. He's become a war hero, and people start noticing his accomplishments. People start noticing some of his successes in his life, and they know he's been chosen and anointed to be the next king. And so they come up with this rap song, and they start saying, Saul has killed his, I think it was R&B, Saul has killed his thousands, who was the current king over Israel. He's killed his thousands. Nice job, Saul. Thousands. Good job, bro. Saul's killed his thousands, but David, the soon-to-be king, has killed his tens of thousands. He's doing 10 times the work, Saul. And so Saul, they start to make this comparison between Saul, the current king, and David, the soon-to-be king. And all of a sudden, Saul starts seeing David from a friend to an enemy. And all of a sudden, Saul starts to get a little bitter, a little resentful. He gets angry at David in that comparison, and to the point that he starts plotting to kill David. And so David catches wind of Saul's plans, and so he runs for his life, literally. And he's scared, and he's confused, and he's hurt. He starts questioning himself. He starts questioning God. Like, I thought I was supposed to be the next king. I thought your hand. You ever had a situation like that where you're a little scared, a little hurt? Maybe there's a situation you're going through where someone pulled the rug out from underneath you, and they wounded you. I didn't see that coming. I start questioning myself. I start questioning God. God, why did you allow me to go through that? God, why am I in this I'm talking to the real people this morning. Why are you allowing me to go through this? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you heal them, God? Why didn't you do something? God, I'm questioning everything in my life. And how many of us know it's in those moments of our lives that we need a real friend who's willing to love us at all times, step in and help us find some spiritual strength in our lives. And that's exactly what David had. Jonathan came in this difficult moment, in the midst of one of the most difficult seasons of David's life. Jonathan walks in, helps him find strength. Take a look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 through 16. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son, Jonathan, you know it's a real friendship when Saul's son is helping out the enemy. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh, and he helped him find strength in God. We all need a friend in our lives who's going to help us find spiritual strength, because it doesn't matter how strong we think we are. We're all going to have moments when we get tempted. We're all going to have moments in our lives when I feel like I don't have what it takes to make it through what I'm going through. We're all going to have moments when I'm a little discouraged. We all have moments in our lives where I'm a little depressed, when I feel like I'm all alone. And it's in those moments of our lives when it feels like everybody else is walking out that I need a real friend to walk in and say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm praying with you. And I'm standing with you in this moment of your life. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to see this situation. I'm going to see this season through. I'm going to help you find strength in God. I need a friend who loves me at all times. A friend like that. A friend to help me find spiritual strength. And then the second type of friend that David had was Nathan. If you're taking notes, number two, Nathan. And we all need a friend who tells you the truth. We all need a friend who's willing to tell us the truth. And in David's life, he had eventually became king over Israel. And he was known as a man after God's own heart. God was blessing him. But the Bible tells us that when kings are supposed to be off at war with their armies, fighting the battles and leading their armies, King David decided to remain at home. And he took his eyes off of God, and he ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba and breaking the heart of God and really, really putting the nation of Israel in jeopardy because of his sin. And through it all, David tried to rationalize it. He tried to justify it. He tried to downplay it. He tried to cover it up, and to the point that he started to become blind. How many know we got blind spots? We all got blind spots. We all want to be self-aware, but we all have blind spots. And so he started to cover up his sin. And so he doesn't even recognize the magnitude of what he has done. And so God raises up a man by the name of Nathan to come and speak truth into David's life. I love this because God raises up Nathan and gives Nathan wisdom to speak truth to David in such a way that David can receive it. How many? I don't need people in my life that are just going to point out where I'm wrong. I already know half the things I'm doing wrong. I don't need you to rub my face in, right? I need you to present truth in a way that I can receive it. And they do that because I know you care about me. I know you love me. I know you're a friend that's chosen to love me at all. I can tell you anything, and you're not going to judge me. You're going to speak truth to me. How many of us know that it's hard to influence someone and judge someone at the same time? In fact, you can't do that. Right? And so we all need a Nathan. So Nathan begins to tell this story to David and putting truth in a way he can receive it. And he says, you know, once upon a time in a land far, far, far away, there lived a wealthy man with a lot of sheep and a lot of cattle. So many sheep and so many cattle, too many to count. But in this same town, there was a poor man who had one little lamb. And this little lamb was like part of the family. Like, this man loved that little lamb. He did everything with this little lamb. And one day a traveler was coming through town and stopped at this wealthy man's house. And as was custom in that day and age, if a traveler came through town, stopped at your house, you were to provide a meal for them. But instead of this wealthy man taking one of the many sheep and cattle that he had in his flock, he goes down to the poor man's house and he takes the only lamb the poor man had and he kills it and he sacrifices it and he serves it to this traveler. Well, when David hears this, he becomes furious. He is irate. Like, how could someone with so much take something from someone who had so little? Nathan looks at David and he says this Hebrew phrase, "Ata ish," which means, "You are that man." And in that moment, David breaks. In that moment, for the first time, he sees the magnitude of his sin, how he's hurt people, and he ends up repenting, crying out to God, and writing Psalm 51, one of the greatest psalms, which is all about repentance, where he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And all these years later, I don't know how many times I've quoted that psalm. I don't know how many times I've spoke that psalm over my life as some of the mistakes and sin that I've made in my life. All I'm still getting ministered to by this psalm because a few thousand years ago, Nathan had the courage to speak truth into his friend's life. Wow. I want to ask this question. When was the last time we had a friend have the courage to speak some truth into our lives? When's the last time we had a friend come alongside of us and say, "Hey, listen, you're blowing it. You're about to lose it all. You're messing up. You're messing up. You're about to lose your marriage. You're about to lose your job. You're about to lose your kids. You're messing. I see greatness in you. Wait a minute. There's more in you. You got, there's dreams in you. There's more in you than you even. When's the last time we've had a friend come along and say, "Come on, I believe in you. There's more in you than you even think." Because how many of us know, not only do we need those people, but we have to be intentional about allowing those people to have that voice in our lives. You got to allow that person to have a voice in your life. You might be one friend away from changing the entire course of your destiny. You might be one friend away from a better marriage. You might be getting ready to call it quits. You might be one friend away from a better marriage. You might be one friend away from finding financial peace. You might be one friend away from overcoming an addiction. You might be one friend away to overcoming depression. You might be one friend away from knowing God in a way you've never known Him before. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. But we might just be one friend away from changing the entire course of our destinies. And today, this morning, today's small group rally day. Come on, somebody. We got tents. We got hay. I don't even know why we got hay. We got hay out there. Sit on the hay. Walk on the hay. Do something with it. Take some hay home today. Take the hay home. We joke around, but I'm serious too. So we don't go through all that trouble just to have some hay. You know what I'm saying? We ain't doing all that if we didn't believe in it. And we believe in it. We believe in small groups. We believe in doing life together. We believe in surrounding ourselves with the right people. And we all got issues. We all got stuff. We all got problems. But we believe in getting into a smaller group where we can take the mask off and say, "Hey, this is what's really going on in my life. This is what's really going on in my marriage. This is what's really going on with my kids. And I know we try to act all cool and dress nice when we come, but this is what's really going on. I can't get them to listen. I don't know where they're going. This is what's really going on in my life." And we can realize that some other people take their mask off too. Hey, I got issues too. But we realize that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And all of a sudden, here's what I want you. I want you to pray. God, when I sign up, I don't want anybody leaving without signing up for a small group. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Come on, I don't want you just to go sign up. I want you to be committed to that group. I want you to show up over the next 13 weeks. 13 weeks. We'll stop at the right around Thanksgiving. Let's eat some turkey, have Christmas. We'll start it back up again in January. But 13 weeks, I'm going to do life together. And I want you to pray. God, give me some divine relationships. Like, I'm not just signing up for this. I want to meet a real friend who's going to love me at all times that can do life together. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Man, get into a group. Let's do life. You weren't meant to do life alone. Amen? Would you pray with me? I better get off the stage. Pastor Kyle was like doing this 25 minutes ago when he gave me the mic. Father, we love you in this place, God. Wow, God. Your presence changes everything. Your blood changes everything. We're grateful for the blood, God. It's nothing but the blood. It's not the blood plus anything that changes. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus that changes everything in all. You bring hope, Jesus. You bring victory. You bring forgiveness. You bring life. You bring the right relationships, God. Nothing but the blood. And in this moment, as we're praying together and we're talking about friendships and surrounding ourselves with the right people, maybe you're here this morning and the first relationship you need to focus on is your relationship with Jesus. You know about God, you've been around God, but you've never yielded to who God is and who God wants to be in your life. And it's time to yield and say, here I am, God. It's impossible to live the right life on my own. It's impossible to live the right life when you're not the Lord and Savior of my heart. It's impossible to live the right life when I'm not yielded to who you are, God, and who you want to be in my life. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're ready to surrender your life, would you just lift up your hand? That's me. I'm not going any further in this place in my life without putting you first. And right where you're at, would you just pray this with me? Say, God, I need you. Thank you for loving me right where I'm at, but loving me enough not to let me stay there. This morning, here's my heart. Here's my life. Change me, save me, forgive me, fill me. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. As we continue praying, maybe you're here and you need to have the courage to redefine some friendships in your life. There's some people in your top five that should not be in your top five, and you need the courage to redefine those relationships. And then maybe there's some, you don't have a Jonathan or Nathan, and you need to pursue those, and God needs to give you the courage to step out of your comfort zone and make yourself known. If that's you, would you lift your hand up to heaven? There's some relationships. Come on. There's more of you. There's some relationships in my life that I need to redefine. And I'm missing some Jonathans. I'm missing some Nathans. I'm missing some people that can tell me the truth no matter what. And that will help me find spiritual strength. God, you see our hearts. You see our hands, God. Help us have the courage to kind of redefine some of the wrong relationships and then be intentional about surrounding ourselves with the right ones. God, we want all that you have for us. We don't want just a little bit of life. We want the abundant life that Jesus died for each and every one of us. God, lead us, guide us, direct us. Our lives are yours. In Jesus' name.